IQ skill number 6, influence. Your personality, your presence, and passion. Influence is the highest form of persuasion. Why? With influence, people take action because they are inspired by your overall makeup rather than by your external actions. Persuasion is what you do and you say, but influence is who you are. How do you gain influence? How do you develop yourself to the point that people will act simply because an idea came from you? How do you ensure that your influence continues to compel people even when you're not around? In my studies, I have found that great persuaders possess most, if not all, of the 7 essential characteristics of the ability to influence others. So remember, persuasion is what you do when you say, techniques, people skills, the laws of persuasion. Influence is who you are, and here are the 7. Charisma, passion, which includes enthusiasm, optimism, attitude, empathy, vision, and esteem. Great persuaders have and transfer charisma. We can all think of charismatic people. They have a certain presence and charm about them. They are captivating. They command our attention. We hang on to every word that comes out of their mouth. Their energy prods us, motivates us, and inspires us. They fulfill our need for a hero. We feel better for having met them, seen them, been persuaded by them, and interacted with them. So, what exactly is charisma? Well, it can be a mysterious attribute. It's not leadership, assertiveness, or enthusiasm, nor is it a personality or being a people person. Although all of these things seem to be a part of the package in one way or another. Attorney Jerry Spence has perhaps summed up the concept of charisma best. He said, quote, "Charisma is energy from the heart zone. If the speaker has no feeling, there is nothing to transfer. Charisma occurs when the speaker's feelings are transferred in the purest form to another. Charisma is not a diluted feeling. It is not disguised. It is a raw feeling. Charisma is the passing of our pure energy, our pure passion, to the other." Unquote. It may seem that people either have charisma or they don't. And if you're not one of those people who just has it, the question is, can it be learned? The answer is yes. Well, how is this possible? First, you must know the traits and attributes of charismatic leaders. Professor Jay Conger has identified 4 general characteristics of charismatic leaders. First of all, they have a strong and clear vision, and they know how to present it so it best fits the context of their audience's needs. Second, they know how to present their vision so the weakness of the present condition are apparent and the recommended changes are seen as not only justifiable, but also desirable and necessary. Third, they have a history of success, expertise, and vision to make educated departures from old traditions that may be less effective. And fourth, they possess the behavior they encourage others to have. They model the results of change themselves and thus help their audience feel motivated and empowered to do likewise. You see, once you know the characteristics of charismatic leaders, you must take steps to acquire these traits for yourself. Here are 8 specific ways you can work on augmenting your charisma. First of all, develop confidence in yourself and in your message. Don't show nervousness or discomfort. If you do feel these negative emotions, work through what is causing them so they can be resolved. Confidence must permeate every thought, word, and deed. Number 2, show a lighter side. Find your sense of humor. Rediscover your sense of humor and happiness and have fun. Don't take life too seriously. Learn to laugh at yourself. Third, have a great presence and energy. Project the 5 C's of trust. Remember? Character, competence, confidence, credibility, and congruence. Number 4, be knowledgeable about your subject matter and make sure that knowledge is based on a solid foundation. Gain an understanding of where your audience stands in relation to your subject and what background, knowledge, and experience they may bring to the table. Number 5, have a nice professional appearance. Make sure your clothes, hair, shoes, and accessories are appropriate for the message and the setting. Dress the part. Number 6, be sensitive to people and their needs. Develop rapport with your audience by connecting with them and being a good listener. 7, make sure your message is clear and easy to follow. Make sure there is a good flow from one point to the next. Don't jumble the message with too much information. Stick to the main points and keep it concise. This way, you will not only hold their attention better, but they will be much more likely to remember your message later. And finally, number 8, make sure you are exciting and engaging to listen to. Tell spellbinding stories. Make sure the things you talk about are interesting. So let's talk about passion and enthusiasm. Understand, more than anything else, passion recruits the hearts and minds of your audience. Great persuaders radiate heartfelt passion. When the audience can sense your passion and heartfelt conviction for your cause or product, they will emotionally jump on board. We all love people who are excited and filled with believable zeal for their subject. Passion is critical to influencing others. Yet, less than half of all persuaders interviewed have a passion for their product or service. When you have passion for something, you want to share it with the world. You want to convert as many people to your cause as possible, and you're not swayed by the opinions of others. When you possess passion, you have a sense of mission that drives you, stimulates your imagination, and motivates you to higher levels of achievement. Passion alone, let me repeat, passion alone can be effective in influencing others to support your product, service, or cause. There is a difference between charisma and passion, however. Charisma is a characteristic, while a passion is a transfer of emotion. Your passion about what you do, your product, or your service is a required skill if you are to excel in the world of persuasion. As I monitor great persuaders and their persuasion IQ scores, I have noticed the essential role of passion. I can monitor two persuaders who possess roughly the same scores in persuasion knowledge and application, but their success is not identical. Passion is often the differentiating factor. When persuaders possess a passion about their product, service, or idea, they are able to open the hearts and minds of their audience. Ask yourself if you have passion or if you are simply going through the motions. Now here's the question. Are you singing the song and really feeling it, or are you just singing the words and going through the motions? Think about it. Enthusiasm falls under the umbrella of passion. You can be enthusiastic without having passion. Passion, however, always includes enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is described as a strong excitement or feeling on behalf of a cause or a subject. In Greek, the word enthusiasm means to be inspired by God. Enthusiasm is contagious. Enthusiasm infects people so much that they tangibly feel your energy and excitement. Enthusiasm accounts for over 50% of what it takes to start the persuasion process, and it electrifies everyone around you. Emerson said, quote, "Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm," unquote. David Peeple said, "People are persuaded more by the depth of your conviction than the height of your logic, more by your enthusiasm than any proof you can offer." You have probably seen persuaders who radiate enthusiasm. It is in their faces. They are undeniably motivated, and it creates sparks of interest in their audience. Enthusiasm not only reduces fear, but it also creates self-acceptance, great confidence, compassion, and harmony between you and your audience. It assists in generating interest in strangers and in motivating them to want to get involved. Great persuaders develop their enthusiasm by gaining information and knowledge about their product or subject. Believe in yourself. Believe in your message. Tap into your emotions and learn how to express them. Because on the flip side, fake enthusiasm, unrealistic hype, and false energy lower credibility, project phoniness, repel people, show deceit, and are viewed as arrogant. I've done persuasion workshops before where I have my students give a 2-minute speech about their personal passion. Many times their passion is contagious, and they've influenced even me. Over the years, I've had students get me excited about ice cream, get more committed to recycling, and make me want to start rock climbing. Passion springs from a combination of belief, enthusiasm, and emotion. What is your passion? What are you wildly enthusiastic about? Tap into the things in your life about which you are passionate, and you'll find a new driving force in your life that will keep you going until the goal is reached. Norman Vincent Peale said, quote, "When one gets enthusiastic, the entire personality lights up. The mind becomes sharper, more intuitive. The entire life force and creative ability are enhanced. Such a person is motivated and will certainly make an impact." Unquote. Enthusiasm can be learned. Great persuaders enhance their enthusiasm by increasing their knowledge, having a sincere interest, and tapping into their purpose. And now we have to talk about optimism. Optimistic persuaders outpersuade pessimistic persuaders every time. Not only is optimism essential to influencing others, but it's critical for success in life. And understand, optimism is more than a positive mental attitude. It's not constantly saying positive things to yourself and then hoping they'll come true. Rather, true optimism is a state of mind that dictates how you look at the world. An optimistic view of life and the world around you can inspire hope and courage in others. We all want to feel inspired and encouraged. If someone can deliver such a message, we want to follow that person. This tendency is how optimism helps you in influencing others. Pessimism, on the other hand, is always taking the negative view. Others will consider a pessimist as irritable and always looking for the negative in every situation. Pessimists are the ones who will always be the first to complain and tell everyone else that nothing goes right. As a result, they never get success or the recognition they deserve. Countless studies have shown that optimists do better in school, persuade better, have more friends, perform better in their careers, and live longer than pessimists. Pessimists, on the other hand, battle depression, have fewer friends, find it difficult to persuade, and give up faster and more easily. To illustrate this point, in one study, those who sold insurance were monitored on their optimistic or pessimistic outlook in relation to setbacks. Of course, you know, the optimistic ones sold more policies and were half as likely to quit. Helen Keller once said, quote, "No pessimist ever discovered the secrets of the stars or sailed to an uncharted land or opened a new heaven to the human spirit." Unquote. Great persuaders have what we call influential optimism. This means that they can see the positive in all situations. Rather than focusing on disappointment, cynicism, or negative feelings, they look for ways to move forward. People want to be persuaded by individuals who have a positive view on life. As an optimist, you see the world as a series of exciting challenges. You inspire positive feelings about everything you stand for. People want to be around you because they are surrounded by a very pessimistic world. The optimistic mindset is contagious and helps to empower other people to believe in both you and themselves. You see, as an optimist, you help others see failure or setback as temporary. You have no doubt that the success will happen. In contrast, a pessimist sees a temporary setback as a permanent failure. Optimists know that when failure arises, they have something in their life they need to change. Now, on the contrary, a pessimist calls failure a weakness and never moves on. Optimism, then, is the ability to bounce back sooner rather than later, or not at all. Great persuaders find that is a key to mirror their audience's reality and to gradually raise their audience's optimism level. To achieve true optimism, you have to learn to control your pessimistic voice. We all have both an optimistic and a pessimistic voice inside us. Which one do you listen to? On the flip side, can you be overly optimistic? Well, it depends on the situation. You can't have too much false cheer or taking optimism to nauseam. But I think it is rare to have too much realistic optimism. The only time optimism will backfire is when you are persuading a die-hard pessimist. If you start off with too much optimism, you will clash with your audience. If, on the other hand, you gradually offer small doses of optimism, you can turn even the pessimist around. Work on refining your educated optimism. That is the ability to see around corners, to anticipate challenges, and to still maintain a positive outlook. Next, let's talk about attitude. Most people don't spend time thinking about their attitudes, and yet they allow their attitudes to control them throughout the day. Rather than attending to their own attitudes, most watch the attitudes of others and react to other people's attitudes. When we understand that most of our attitude starts in neutral and then is altered according to what we decide to think and feel, then we are well on the way to controlling it. The moment of deciding how to respond to circumstances determines the degree of our success in a very real way. We don't have control over everything that's going to happen, but we do have 100% control over our own attitudes. Psychiatrist Viktor Frankl, who suffered the horrendous atrocities of the Nazi concentration camp, said, quote, "Everything can be taken from a man, but the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way," unquote. Once we realize that attitude is a choice, we must remind ourselves that it is a choice we must make daily, even moment by moment. Maintaining a healthy attitude is an ongoing commitment to excellence. Attitude is a habit that arises from our expectations, what we expect of ourselves and others. Great persuaders enhance and maintain expectations. Great persuaders have great expectations. Frustration is normally just the result of an unmet expectation or a contradiction between reality and attitude. As Brian Jett said, quote, "Winners choose the highest summits and see the sun prior to cresting them. There are no limits for those with expectant attitudes." At the Persuasion Institute, we found that only 14.2% of the people polled felt they had great attitudes on a daily basis. How can you consistently improve your attitude? One of the biggest factors is in how we talk to ourselves. Remember, we all have a positive voice and a negative voice inside of us. Which voice do you give more power? It is essential that you master the skill of quieting the negative voice. I have noticed with great persuaders that anytime negative thoughts arise, they have a plan or a way to disarm them and replace them with something positive. Whatever goes on in your mind is exactly what will come out in performance. It is in this way that we actually have much greater control over our lives than most people realize. William James, a psychologist and philosopher, said, quote, "The greatest discovery of my generation is that human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitudes of the mind," unquote. So, why is having a positive attitude so critical in influencing others? Our attitudes will be reflected back by those we seek to influence. If you don't feel positively about whatever position it is you're trying to advance, then how can your audience feel positively about it? Whatever attitude you want your audience to possess, you must possess it first. Only then will you be influential. You can often tell where a person's attitude is simply by examining his words. Do you ever catch yourself saying any of these phrases? "Oh, it doesn't matter what I do. It won't change anything. Price is the only thing that matters. It's the industry. It's out of my hands. Oh, they already have a supplier they're happy with." Well, that's how employees are. What do you expect me to do? "Well, I'm helpless in this situation. It just takes too much effort. I'll just sit this one out." Well, that's just human nature. Even when it is true that all circumstances are not under your control, you must be very careful that you don't adopt a defeatist attitude. Instead of brushing it off as out of my hands, nothing I can do about it, or other such dismissive and reactive attitudes, seize the opportunity to focus on what you do have control over and let your attitude positively center around that. And then there's empathy. The word empathy has both Latin and Greek roots. The two parts of the word mean to see through and the eye of the other. The ability to see through the eye of another person creates long-term influence. When people know that you can see what they see, feel what they feel, and hurt the way they hurt, then they are willing to be influenced by you. Great persuaders have mastered and understand the use of empathy. Empathy is identifying with and understanding someone else's situations, feelings, and concerns in a realistic way. It is having the ability to put yourself in their shoes and then genuinely appreciating where they're at and what they're dealing with. When people sense that you sincerely empathize with them, they will be significantly more open to your influence. In a world that is full of people who are always trying to get us to do things for their reasons, without any regard for how we may feel about it, it is refreshing to have a truly empathetic person come along. empathy helps you feel better too. Contrary to the messages that we are constantly bombarded with, we actually feel happier when we put others first. As Zig Ziglar wisely said, quote, "The best way to get what you want out of life is to help others get what they want," unquote. Empathy has always been shown to increase productivity and personal satisfaction, which again is just more proof that in helping others, you are also helping yourself. It is interesting to note that studies show that those who are able to show and demonstrate empathy had an above-average self-esteem and felt more socially responsible. Despite all the evidence of the importance and usefulness of empathy and persuasion, our studies show that while the majority of persuaders feel they are showing empathy toward their audience, the majority of their audience members feel their persuaders are just going through the motions. Empathy is next to impossible to fake. Even if you feel your audience has bought your empathy, think again. They just haven't called you on it. When you can understand how your audience feels, persuasion and influence become easy. You have walked in your audience's shoes, and they know you feel what they feel. Now remember, it takes talent to come across as empathetic, even when you have true empathy. We live in a self-absorbed world, and being empathetic is contrary to almost everything you've learned from the world. We learn as children to be demanding, self-centered, and egocentric. Great persuaders forget themselves in the persuasion process, find out what their audience needs, and connect with empathy. It works. And I know this technique is one you can fine-tune. Empathy even creates a close relationship between two strangers. Unfortunately, the rush of modern life doesn't seem to cultivate a mindset of pausing to help others. If you want to master empathy, you must look for, or even create, the opportunities yourself. If you need to find ways to develop greater empathy, ask yourself the following questions. How would I feel if I were that person? Why is that person feeling this way? How can I help? How would I feel if that happened to me? Basically, even when assessing situations individually, you will never go wrong by always regarding the universal psychological and emotional needs of the human family. What are those needs? Approval, attention, encouragement, and understanding. When you accept the whole person unconditionally, you create empathy. You accept his strengths and triumphs, along with his weaknesses, failures, doubts, and fears. The next is vision. Great persuaders have and can instill a commanding view of the future with their audience. When you want to influence others, it is essential you have a strong and clear vision. People come on board when they can see that there is a vivid, solid vision in place that they can touch, taste, feel, or see. No one wants to buy stock in a sinking ship. People want to know, what is the plan? Where are we going? What are we aiming for? In other words, what is your vision? Your job is to powerfully present how your vision is a solution to their problems. Your vision must bridge the gap between their present situation and their desired situation. So that's the difference between where they are and where they wish they could be. A common vision pulls people together toward the same goals and objectives. Influential people have clearly defined visions that are forward-looking and filled with great excitement and anticipation. Remember, more than anything else in life, vision, whether it is yours or somebody else's, dictates our daily decisions. Vision is a powerful tool in helping others see the big picture. No matter your persuasive role, whether it is as a parent, a spouse, a teacher, coach, a friend, sales rep, or an employee, turning your audience onto your vision is a powerful way to increase your influence. Vision is such a powerful force because it keeps us focused on the future. Vision gives a sense of directional purpose to people, most of whom don't have a clearly articulated purpose or direction in their lives. Stephen Covey said, quote, "To begin with the end in mind means to start with a clear understanding of your destination. It means to know where you are going so that you better understand where you are now and so that the steps you take are always in the right direction," unquote. All human beings yearn for direction. That's why someone with a vision is so alluring to us. When you craft your vision, you must think big. Walt Disney advised, quote, "Make no little plans. They have no magic to stir men's blood and probably themselves will not be realized. Make big plans. Aim high and hope and work, remembering that a noble, logical diagram once recorded will never die. But long after we are gone, will be a living thing, asserting itself with ever-growing insistency. True vision affects your audience even when you're not around, because a contagious vision influences our thoughts and imagination 24 hours a day. And then there's esteem. All human beings need and want praise, recognition, and acceptance. To know and be assured of our worth is perhaps our deepest craving. We all want praise and recognition so that we can feel admired and respected. If you communicate and work with individuals in a manner that enhances their self-esteem, you increase your influence with them. The proper use of esteem building and giving sincere compliments can change and enhance behavior. The individual receiving the praise now has a reputation to live up to and an open opportunity to prove and fulfill the compliment's validity. Great persuaders do not become a threat to someone's self-esteem. Be sure that they are capable of what you're asking them to do. If you are offering to help someone and they perceive that they should know how to help themselves, it is a blow to their esteem. If receiving help sparks such negative self-messages, recipients are likely to feel threatened and respond negatively. We are quicker to believe flattering descriptions of ourselves than unflattering ones. You see, the esteem in which we hold of ourselves affects our thinking and our actions. Here are several ways our self-esteem dictates what we do and what we say. We remember and justify our past actions in self-enhancing ways. We exhibit an inflated degree of confidence in our beliefs and judgments. We exhibit group pride. For example, we tend to see our personal group as superior, whether it be religion, where we went to school, or the country we are from. We overestimate how much others support our opinions and share our shortcomings. We continuously compare ourselves to others. We feel strength and esteem based on our status or possessions. We tend to tear others down to enhance our own feelings about ourselves. The studies at the Persuasion Institute indicate that most of our communication is construed as negative, regardless of the intention. Even when you say something positive, there are those people who will turn it around and take it as negative in some way. When you find yourself in a persuasive situation, it is essential that you seek to enhance your audience's ego in a sincere way. Too often we present ourselves in a manner that instills feelings of threat, competition, jealousy, and mistrust in our audience. Be sure your praise is sincere and genuine. You can't ever go wrong offering sincere praise. It's only going to make people feel better, happier, more energetic, and more productive. You've probably experienced this yourself. When you receive sincere praise, you get a smile on your face and your spirits soar. Don't wait for a good reason or for something big to happen. Be generous with your praise. Make it a habit to give sincere praise every day, and you'll be well on your way to increasing your potential to positively influencing others. In a culture that grows increasingly cynical, you may worry about whether or not your praise will be taken as sincere. Consider the following 3 points to help ensure that your praise is accepted. First of all, find something positive to praise. Not something like, "Oh, I'm glad you didn't have a heart attack. Oh, I thought you'd be dead by now." Number two, praise the specific act, not the person. Not, "Oh, good job today," but the way you handled that one prospect. Be specific. And number three, be sincere and be genuine. Make it come from the heart. People will be more open to your input and to your suggestions when you make them feel good about themselves, their work, and their accomplishments. Respect for the dignity of others will take you far. When you make your audience feel that their contributions are essential, it will not be long before they become your willing supporters. Your influential presence is critical to become a great persuader. And remember the Chinese proverb, quote, "A bit of fragrance clings to the hand that gives flowers," unquote. Influence is the cruise control of your car to success. Once established or set, you don't need facts and figures to persuade anyone. You can influence them because of who you are. It will take seconds instead of hours to influence. Great persuaders know how to develop both short and long-term influence. Development of your influential presence will enable you to build, motivate, and empower others to take action. If you master and utilize all the essential elements of influence, charisma, passion, optimism, attitude, empathy, vision, and esteem, you will be giving yourself the energy and presence you need to get results. So let me finish up influence with another fable about the blue jay and the peacock. A blue jay ventured into a yard where the peacocks walked. There he found a number of feathers that had fallen from the peacocks when they were molting. He tied them all to his tail and strutted down toward the peacocks. When he approached them, they soon discovered his deceit and began to peck at his head, plucking away his borrowed feathers. So the blue jay could do no better than to go back to the other blue jays, who had watched his behavior from a distance. They, however, were equally upset and annoyed with him. What's the meaning? Not only will deception and deceit fail to influence your enemies, but it'll also destroy your friendships.